We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. I pray that you open the meaning of Scripture to us as only you can do, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we go in grace and knowledge of Him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 26, Judas Iscariot replaced. So the Lord has ascended into heaven and is now seated at the right hand of his heavenly Father, controlling everything that is taking place in his whole creation. We see now the reaction of the 11 apostles and other believers in Jesus. You've just heard the text being read, and now we will, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we'll look at a few of the details. And there are some surprises. The first surprise, I suppose, would be entitled Back to Jerusalem. And so, first off, those who had just witnessed the ascension of Jesus returned immediately to the holy city of Jerusalem, the very place where Jesus had been tried and sentenced to his death by crucifixion. But there was a difference, and it was a big one. Some of the very ones who had deserted Christ and fled are now returning in victory. Their fear has been replaced by confidence in a living Savior, not a dead one. The enemies were still there. The high priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the elders, the powerful Sanhedrin. They had done their worst, but they had failed. And now the apostles and the rest of the people, numbering about 120, were gathered together. Among them, the 11 apostles. They had started out numbering 12, one for each one of the 12 tribes of Israel. But one had deserted. In Scripture, the number 11 is a bad number. It's one more than 10, which is a good number, and it's one less than 12, which is also a good number. We clearly see Lucifer at work here, adding to the Word of God and taking away from the Word of God. 10 plus 1 and 12 minus 1. And so you have that number 11 in the middle. There is a terrible punishment and judgment that will fall on anyone who messes around with Holy Scripture. In some of the final words of the final book of the Bible, Revelation 22, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So the book they're talking about is the Holy Bible, Scripture. each word inspired by the Holy Spirit. And nobody had better tamper with that. The number 11 will be changed back to the number 12 shortly at the end of the chapter. God cannot be mocked. A few of the details in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So just as Eve contributed to the fall with her husband Adam in the Garden of Eden, so now the women are delivered from the curse by the last Adam, which is Jesus Christ. Singled out here is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Just a few days ago, Mary stood by the cross, and she viewed her son being mocked and crucified and put to death. And then the fulfillment of the angel took place. A sword shall pierce her own side also. But now she sees her son risen from the dead, and he's ascended into heaven. And I believe Mary here is a type of every child of God who has born children. And the heart of the mother is with the child from beginning to end. And every one of them, at one time or other, has had a sword pierce her own soul also. The mother is even closer to the child than the father is. And there's going to be an answer for all this also. God is a very gentle God, and he takes care of those who are in dire need and have their heart pierced also. Another thing that took away the pain was the words, and with his brethren. And some people could say, well, that means his cousins. I don't believe it. I believe Mary and Joseph were blessed with other children. And one of the swords that especially pierced the soul of the mother was that these children, and foster father too, these children were unbelievers in Jesus. They mocked him. Joseph in the Old Testament is a type of Jesus. And he was hated by his brothers. You know the story. And so was Jesus by his brothers and sisters. They did not believe in him until after the resurrection. And then the Holy Spirit brought them into the faith. And so the mother's heartache was cured. And how often does this take place throughout history? But now we want to zero in on Judas Iscariot. And we've covered some of this before, but the Holy Spirit here goes into more detail. And he tells us the rest of the story. Because the whole story can't be understood unless you look at the ending. And it's always the rest of the story that counts. So, we have mentioned this numerous times before, but it's so important. It is a blessed truth revealed many times in Holy Scripture that the Heavenly Father always defends the honor of his son. No matter how dark the clouds may be, there's always a light. And we have seen this truth unfold, especially during the so-called capture and crucifixion of Jesus. We've seen, just for one example, that Jesus went forth to meet the ones who came out with torches and lanterns to try to find him in the darkness of Gethsemane. Jesus went to them. And Judas looked like a fifth wheel. Jesus asked them, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said, "I am he." And the soldiers fell down paralyzed. They couldn't do anything. Christ was in full control of it. He asked them the second time, "Whom seek ye? Who are you looking for?" "Jesus of Nazareth." "Well, I've told you that I'm he." Now you've found me. Let these go their way." Now he's giving them a command and they obey it. So all of the disciples fled and Jesus stood alone. So now we look at the end of the story here, especially looking now at Judas Iscariot. And outwardly, this looked like a very, very embarrassing thing for the Son of God to have one of his own disciples, one that had been with him almost constantly for 3 years, had heard most all of his sermons, had witnessed most all of his miracles, and he deserted and betrayed Jesus. But the Father always defends the honor and glory of his Son. So let's look at how this whole thing played out. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together, about 120. Oh, by the way, here's how the Holy Spirit works numbers. About 120. That's a good number. Okay. So Peter stood up. This shouldn't surprise us. Peter always had something to say, and sometimes it was very good, and a lot of times it was very bad. He's called the mouthpiece of the disciples. So here he's in character. Now what he's saying is going to be very good. What is he saying? Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said this, "Men and brethren, this scripture must need have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry." So now Peter is saying something that he had denied only a few days ago. And when Christ had quoted scripture that he should be crucified and die, Peter said, "Lord, that should not be. That's not going to happen." Now he's saying just the opposite. He's saying what Jesus had said. The scripture must be fulfilled. Well, what was one of the verses of the Old Testament that was being fulfilled? He quotes David, Psalm 41, verse 9. "Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." And this was a trial for Jesus. He was true man, remember. And this pierced his heart. But there's great comfort here. Everything is under control. It was foretold in the Old Testament prophecies that the friend, a very close friend of Jesus, should betray him. And that had to happen. Now let's be clear on this. Judas Iscariot did not have to do this. It's not like he was, that God made him do it. He did it because he wanted to. He betrayed Jesus Christ because he hated him. That's why. That was a choice that he made. The point here is that God knew what Judas was going to do. Jesus knew that too. He knew that from the beginning when he appointed Judas to be one of the 12. So Scripture is going to be fulfilled, and nothing is going to stop it. That's tremendously comforting. Gets back to the inspiration of the Bible again, doesn't it? That the Bible is not the word of men, of human beings. It's the word of the Almighty Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So now he continues. This is the Holy Spirit talking through Peter. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. So how does that figure? How does it figure that Judas purchased that field? Well, we'll find out. This man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. If you had been here to see this, it would not have been a nice sight. You'd have turned away. But it didn't stop there. His bowels gushed out, and it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem. This wasn't something that happened in a secret corner. Everybody heard about it. This was what happened to the guy that denied Jesus and betrayed him. This is what happened to this guy. The Father always defends the honor of his son. So we see Judas coming down, taking a rope, jumping off into the midst of it, and his bowels gushed out. And this was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that that field is called in their proper tongue, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, another quote from the Old Testament, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. So how could it say that Judas purchased the field? Well, he didn't do it personally, but it was his money that they used to purchase the field. When Judas realized what was happening, he went back to the chief priests and scribes, holding the 80 pieces of silver in his hand, and said, I have sinned in that I have deceived the innocent blood. And we'll get that in a minute. Well, what is that to us? That's your problem. You handle it. So he threw the money down on the floor. They took it. And because it was blood money, they didn't feel that they should put it back into the treasury. So they bought this field to bury strangers in. A memory of Judas to this day. Matthew in chapter 27 spells this all out in more detail. And I'm going to read this because this is the truth, that the Father always defends the honor of his Son. So listen to what Matthew says. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. Okay, what does that mean? That Judas, when he saw he was condemned, I think that he meant Jesus, he repented himself. Well, it wasn't a godly repentance. Judas was not sorry that he had betrayed Christ. He was sorry that he got caught. And he knew that there was a price that was going to have to be paid. That's why he repented. So he brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. This is what he said. I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. That's your problem. You handle it. We don't care about you. They had no love for Judas. He went to the wrong place for comfort. So then he cast down the silver in the temple. He didn't even get to use it. I don't know why he wanted the eight pieces of silver or not. Anyway, he didn't get to use it. He ended up throwing it away. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them in the treasury because it's blood money. So then they bought the potter's field. And that's recorded by Matthew. So the mistake that Judas made, and let's be clear about this, Judas is not in hell right now because he betrayed Jesus Christ. He could have been forgiven if he'd only repented like Peter did, who denied Jesus three times, and he had come to Jesus and confessed, he would have been forgiven. But Judas is in hell because he hated Jesus Christ, and he still does. And he hates the bride of Jesus, which he still does. That's why he's in hell. Now, when Christ comes back, and this could be any second of any day, it's going to be a terrible, terrible scene. Nothing that we've seen in earth history can begin to compare with what this is going to be. And the good angels are going to be involved in the judgment also. But we can get a little idea of what the end is going to be like if we look at a prayer that the Son of God made. It's recorded in Psalm 109. I'm going to read some of the opening verses in a minute. And you've heard these before. But this is a prayer of Jesus Christ that he prays to his Heavenly Father. And remember, God is a God of love. The Father loves the Son. And the Father loves the bride of the Son. Remember that. So now this is our husband praying to his Heavenly Father. And these are his words. And they're inspired by the Holy Spirit, written in Psalm 109. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about also with words of hatred, and they fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries. But I give myself unto prayer. They have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. He's speaking so far of all of his enemies. They. Now he zeroes in on one, and that's Judas. Set thou a wicked man over him. The him is Judas. And let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned. And let his prayer become sin. Judas is going to pray? Yeah. But it's going to be sin. Let his days be few. Well, that was fulfilled. And let another take his office. And that's fulfilled in the text today. It gets worse. Let his children be fatherless. And his wife a widow. So even heathen people can have a kind of love, not the love of God, but a physical love for their own children and their wife. And God visits the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. He's a righteous God. And so, let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. They're beggars. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor, and let there be none to extend mercy unto him. Neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. This is a terrible judgment. A terrible judgment. Let his posterity be cut off. That's what they wanted to do to Jesus. Cut him off so his name is just gone. And in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord. And let not the sin of his mother be blotted out, whatever that was. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may be cut off from memory of them that dwell on the earth. This is down in hell. The wrath of the Father is going to be thundering down on Judas Iscariot and all the rest of them down in hell forever. There's no ending to this. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may be the cut off of them from the earth, because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come to him. They're going to reap what they sow. God is a righteous God. He's not going to forget about this. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, as with a garment, so let it come into his bowels like water and like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as a garment which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually, and he can't get rid of it. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and them that speak evil against my soul. Psalm 109, a prayer of the Son of God to his heavenly Father. And the Father hears that prayer, and the Father blesses it. So the chapter ends with Judas Iscariot being replaced. Matthias was chosen. Two people were brought forth, finally, after prayer, for God to make a choice, and God chose Matthias. And, you know, I used to think, well, what the other guy, how would he feel when this Joseph called Barsabbas was brought out, and so here's Joseph, here's Matthias. Now, which of these two is God going to choose? And he chose Matthias. Well, so what do you think Joseph called Barsabbas would think? Well, it was fine with him. There was no problem here. There was no one over another here, nobody being jealous of anybody else. Every child of God has a position given by God that he should be doing or she should be doing. And no one is more important than another. The importance comes from the one that tells you to do it. And that's the Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And so everything that's being done in the kingdom of God is of equal importance. There's no, we're either a saint or we're not a saint, and there's no difference. So it didn't bother the one that wasn't chosen. He was chosen for something else. That's no problem. But let's remember this, that we are living in the final days. And Christ said, "Behold, I come quickly." And when he comes, there's going to be a terrible, terrible worldwide judgment that's going to fall upon Lucifer and all of his wicked ones. This is unlike anything that has ever been done before on the face of the earth. There have been little types. The Great Flood was a type. Sodom and Gomorrah, that was a type. But the reality is going to be far, far worse. And the children of God are going to see it unfold as their husband, father, devours the enemies of his beloved wife. And we're going to cheer him for doing it.